Podcast, Spy Time, excellent. Hey everyone, this is Lauren and Lena with Spoodcast, and today we have a special guest on, Zoe from Zovarians.
Hi. Hi.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Doing well. How's everybody else?
Good.
But yeah, so Zoe, your Instagram is Zovarians. Yeah.
Right. Variums.
Yes, like terrariums, but without the ta.
Yeah,
that's a pretty good name.
But just to start with, we got to check in with Lauren, because Lauren did like a 3-day expo, right?
2-day.
Oh,
a 2-day oddity show.
Nice.
Ooh. I hadn't even known what an oddity show was.
Mm? I love oddity shows. We go to all the ones near us.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah.
This yes.
Was time. And it was amazing.
All of the artwork and just personalities and things. Yes.
Yeah.
10 out of 10. Do you recommend?
So many nice people. And this was the first year that they did it. It's called Pangora's Box.
Mm.
They usually do they have an oddity and expo show in July.
Mm-hmm.
Same place in Vallejo. So this was like the first time them separating the two events. So it was a lot of fun. I was the only one there with any sort of pets.
Are you serious? Besides the monkey, there was a monkey there. Sorry, spoiler alert.
Yeah, so there was an alligator there and he had his like mouth taped shut.
Mm.
That was really interesting.
Safety first.
What was his mouth taped shut with? Duct tape?
It was like electrical tape.
Oh my god.
Really soft, though. It felt like almost plasticky.
Oh, you got to pet him?
Yeah.
Ooh. Did you come home with anything?
Yeah, like little things. We got lots of little bracelets, like, you know, stone kind of stuff. And then what else did we get? There was cookies. Someone had cookies there that were really good. Ooh. Just little like knick-knacky kind of things. So it was fun. And my whole family went, so that made it even better.
Oh my god. How was it? Cause you had your son with you, but you were also working. Like, how did that go?
The first day was tough. And then the second day, cause the first day it rained so much. It was so cold and it was like pounding rain outside. And so Charlie was like bored out of his mind. He had his Nintendo. And then the second day, he actually met a little friend.
Oh,
and like, I got outside the whole time.
We should have done a live Spoodcast. Like, that would have been.
I would have had my time too. It was a little slower for any expos I've done, which is okay. But yeah, we could have done one.
Dude, how was the reception, like, for spiders? Were people, I'm sure they were interested, but did they want to buy them?
Yeah.
Some did, yeah. So, okay, long story short, and there's a point to this. So Tom and I, last year for Halloween, we did the Universal, like, horror night thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people, oh, it's so much fun. Do the VIP one, though, if you do it, because you get, like, food and a tour. It's so worth it. For the East Coasters, they have it at Florida Universal, but it's Universal Studio, like, horror night kind of thing, and they have, like, people with chainsaws running around.
Yeah, they recreate scenes from, like, the famous Universal movies.
They had
or have characters and such.
The one here in California, you get to kind of walk through, like, empty studio lots, and they did know. So anyways, we're doing this tour and there's one of the things is like all about bugs and spiders. And our tour guide was like, it's so funny. These people love horror, but the most thing they're afraid of is spiders.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. So when we're at the oddity thing, like so many people are scared and we're like, totally true. These people love blood and guts and
horror, but not spiders.
Yeah. Well, that's like that study that I read that people were more afraid of like images of guns than they were of spiders.
Yeah, it's so crazy. So yeah, it was so much fun doing, you know, the little oddity expo with my whole family and looking forward to the next one. But now it's time to introduce our guest, Zoe.
Hi. Hey, everyone.
Yeah, so how did you get into spiders? How did you end up with an Instagram for spiders? All of that stuff.
Yeah, so I am a wildlife education and conservation specialist who worked at a museum, and I love being outside, love being in nature. And what got me into jumping spiders is that my six-year-old does not. And he would shriek and get really upset over, like, any time that we would go on nature walks, which is a lot. He would get really, really freaked out and shriek over spider webs, really any creepy crawlies. So we started watching, like, the super cute curated jumping videos on TikTok, and ended up deciding to make our own enclosures and get our own. My thought on it was if the six-year-old can have a sense of control in making the enclosure and picking out his own spider and planning out the diet, that maybe that control would help him not be so freaked out over them. Mm-hmm. And it absolutely worked. It was super successful, not only with getting my kiddo over his fear of spiders, but I got a lot of joy out of it. I am very into art, and I've been keeping reptiles my entire life. So being able to have this super cute little spood that I could then anthropomorphize and make these adorable little, like, dollhouse type setups for made me really, really happy. So it's just kind of spiraled from there.
Yeah. So what was your first spider? Because last week, I think Emily started out with tarantulas and then went to jumping spiders, which
is a cool jump.
That is a cool jump. I'm trying to convince the rest of my household that a tarantula would be an excellent addition. I have not been successful yet. But I started off with regal jumping spiders, and that is still the only species that I keep.
Oh, wow.
I know. I keep intending to branch out, and I actually think that if I find any at the Schaumburg NARBC show, that's kind of where I think I'm going to branch out to a few different species. But only regals for now.
Really? Have you ever, like, wanted a different kind?
I do. The more research that I have done, I really want an Odiosis.
Yeah, they're awesome.
I want a Nycteides. I want a Mimicus. I really, really, really want, but they are so hard to find.
Oh, like the ant dudes that look like ants? Is that what you mean? Or
No, these ones are different. I cannot remember the scientific name for the ones that look like ants.
Isn't it Mimicus?
No, because the Mimicus are cute.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's like...
And the ones that mimic ants are not.
Yeah, well, I mean, they would be cute if not for their ant-like
they
mouth.
They are cute in their own way. How about that?
Yeah.
I like the fluffier ones.
Well, that's one thing that's kind of interesting about the Otiosis, however you want to say it. Their bodies have, like, the butterfly scale, like, iridescence, and it's not like the floof it's not the normal floof, I guess.
Yeah, I love the Odies. I just got a bunch in, and they're so tiny right now, but I can't wait to see them grow up.
Every picture I see of them, they look so adorable, and I've heard that their behavior is, like, just different enough to offer some variety if you keep regals.
We're laughing because it's true, because, yeah, I guess they're a little bit more fearless when it comes to the human hand aspect. Where
interesting.
I don't know. And then definitely interesting getting used to the, like, iridescent thing. So
speaking of molting, I at the Oddity show, someone gave me a jar necklace kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it has a pink toe tarantula molt leg. It's pretty cool.
Ooh. A leg?
Yeah, a leg.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'm totally going to post a picture of all the loots I got at the Oddity show.
Did they have Mexican jumping beans?
No.
What? That's an oddity.
Yeah.
And they're live. Did you guys ever have those?
Yes, I love those.
Oh.
No. Remember the little wooden boxes that you'd open up and it would have, like, a little... I missed those.
Yes. The bug would be like... Oh man, we went, I think that's all from Sierra Trading Company catalog. The wholesale catalog, yeah.
Oh, that's so funny.
Oh god, so you never had Mexican jumping beans?
No.
Did you get to play with them?
I don't think so, no. What? This is not ringing a bell for me at all.
Where are you from again?
Indiana.
Indiana, okay, yeah. They're more near the West Coast border.
How do you describe it? It is, I don't remember what they look like.
It looks like a bean.
But they're alive.
What are they? Oh, ooh.
Yeah, little tiny worms. I saw a video on it. I can't remember if this is correct, but I think the warmth of your hands made them kind of pop.
Did you guys ever have sea monkeys?
I did not. I always wanted them and was told no.
I had them, yeah.
Dude, fuck yeah. They haven't really updated even to this day. Like,
they look the same.
Well, no, yeah. Not only that, but it's still over mail order. So it's like, Sunday, S-A-S-E, self-addressed stamped envelope with a dollar in it. Seriously, because you can.
That is hilarious.
Yeah, and they can send you the eggy wags or, yeah.
I'm surprised we haven't gotten those, Lena.
Oh, dude, no, I found my sea monkeys in Mars, and we don't care. That's, you know.
You're on, like, this 90s, like, nostalgia kick with your Furby and your Tamagotchi.
I have two Tamagotchis.
Wow. I wanted.
I just, you know, after taking care of hundreds of slings and being like, God damn it, I was like, I need more to freak me out. So I literally bought two Tamagotchi. I want something to want me. I need something to need me.
My bearded dragon.
How was that, by the way, having Poodle, your bearded dragon, at the thingy the whole entire time?
So good. Like, he stayed in my sweatshirt or Tom's shirt for, like, most of the time. But it was so funny, like, she blended in so people wouldn't see her. But then when people did see her, they're like, oh, my God, you have a bearded dragon on you. So, yeah, she was really good. I think she'll come to the other expos. She's kind of a part of the show now, as I say.
Well, she did look like a piece of furniture on your table in the picture that... Wait, but Zoe, okay, so how many spiders do you have, like, your own little babe?
So my own BBs, I have, let me count, I have 13 of my own, one just passed.
Oh, who's that?
Yeah, she was one of my OG spoods out of the two, like, original that I got from Amy Keeps Arachnids, who is amazing. They were my first two spiders. And Lucas went through an 11th molt for reasons unbeknownst to me, but she did not survive much later, like, much longer after that. But Kelsey is still doing well. Honestly, Lucas was my son's spider, not mine, so I didn't have quite the same bond with her, but it made me so freaked out over Kelsey, my spood. She's still doing well, and I'm gonna be devastated.
Oh my god.
When something happens with her. But yeah. So Lucas had that molting issue, and
you said you got those from Amy Keeps Arachnids?
I did, yes.
Oh my god.
They were my very first spiders. I think that I was actually one of her very first purchases too.
Oh my god.
So, yeah, and we're still good friends. I am actually possibly getting another batch of foster BBs from her soon.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Oh, dude, yeah.
She breeds some really great, really beautiful, really, really healthy foods. Cannot recommend her enough.
Do you want to explain to our listeners the foster thing that you do?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I used to work at a museum. And I did a lot of forward-facing educational programs. And I actually had a mom talking with me after I got my spoods. And she had done the same thing for her daughter, trying to help her get over arachnophobia. And they got a jumping spider. And,
nice.
Well, it would have been, had it worked out, the spider was not interested in humans at all, wanted nothing to do with being handled, never wanted to come out. And the little girl was devastated over it. So, and mom was pretty upset too. She's like, man, we tried this and we were making progress. And now it feels like like a big waste. That really, really hit a nerve with me.
Yeah.
The more research that I did and like the difference that my own spiders behaved, the ones that I got as slings versus like older ones that I had bought that were already established like for those programs, there is an enormous difference. So I started getting just small batches of no more than 20 at a time, like I4, I5. Ish slings, like right when they're out of that scavenging phase.
Okay. Yeah.
So right when they're old enough to be separated, I get them. And then they are handled about when they're that small, about every third day. But once they hit like I5 to I6, they get handled every other day. They get exposed to lots of different kinds of textures for their enrichment because a lot of that is why they don't like humans. It's just, they're not used to those different textures. So mine get exposed to lots of different people, lots of different textures. They're kept in my living room where there's dogs and reptiles and we're constantly moving around. So they're not shy over any of those like normal human movement. Like it's really nice to have a reptile room or a spider room. But if you as a breeder have a whole room dedicated to it and you're only going in there for chores and stuff, it's still a different exposure, you know?
Yeah. What do you mean? Like, just like what they can see or?
Yeah, just kind of those normal comings and goings. That is a technique that I actually got from a crested gecko breeder.
Okay.
And why they had no frog butts in their collection.
Yes.
For anybody not familiar with cresties, crested geckos have the autonomy so they can drop their tail at will. Like if a predator is going after them, they can drop their tail.
Mm-hmm.
But crested geckos cannot grow theirs back. Like leopard geckos, fat tails, most geckos, if they can drop their tail, they can grow it back. But cresties don't. So when they drop it, they're called frog butts because that's what they look like. They said that like the reason that none of their cresties drop their tail is because from the minute that they come out of an egg, they are just in the hustle and bustle of a normal household instead of like in a quiet nursery room set up by themselves. So so that is something that I have tried out with the spiders and it has gone super, super well. I have gotten nothing but positive feedback from it. They're especially great for new keepers and kids. Cause you know, if you're familiar with spiders and you're on, you know, your 20th eight-legged baby,
you get
an idea of how to socialize them and you learn how to read their personality and read their body language and it's easier.
Totally. What is the optimal number, I would say, for you as far as raising them in the way that you do? Because I know that, you know, the sacks, they often have like hundreds of babies at once. So
yes.
If somebody has to do that by themselves, like...
That's a lot of work.
Yes. Honestly, that's the other reason why I do what I do, because sometimes it does just get overwhelming having all of those babies.
Yeah.
Honestly, for breeders, I have never had that many, but at a time, but it would take a whole day to sit and like spend 10 to 15 minutes with each spider that often, like.
You would have no time.
No, you would start feeding and handling them and then you wouldn't be done until the next day. If really, really handling them. And like, I would suggest, you know, maybe to other breeders, if you just want to have a group of like 20 that you raise, you know, a little bit differently and they are handled more, I would say max it out at 20 and then, I don't know, upcharge for the ones that are better socialized and more handleable because you did put more work into them.
With that said, like, what would you say if people got a spider that they, you know, paid more because they were more quote sociable and then they, you know, the people are like, they are not sociable. You know, what would you do then?
So I always explain to people when they're coming to me and asking questions that every spider is going to have its own unique quirks. Every spider is going to have its own unique personality and every food is going to have off days too. Even your most friendly sociable spider is not going to be that way all the time. So I do give that caveat, but because I have the smaller amount of them, I can kind of help guide people through like, okay, if you want somebody who the minute that you open the cup, they're going to come to you and they want to explore and they want to hang out and they don't want to go back in their enclosure, you know, once you get them out, I can tell them which ones would be best for that.
Yeah.
And Yeah. So far, I've had zero. I am a 100% success rate for spider matchmaker. So
that's like tons of times. Do you feel the same that people's energies has a big thing to play in with spiders? Or maybe what you're saying is it's all on the spiders.
No, I definitely think that any sort of relationship with another animal is still two-sided. Whether it's a spider, whether it's a dog, nope. I think that especially with how curious and intelligent and observant spiders are, I definitely think that our reaction to them plays a part into it.
Yeah.
Is it going to be the same as like a dog being able to pick up on your nervous energies? No, probably not. I don't know. If you're nervous and shaking and stuff, yes, I think that they do notice that.
Yeah.
Or if you're very jerky with your movements because you're scared, I think that those are all negative cues to a spider.
Mm-hmm.
So will they react to like your tone of voice? No. But if you're sweating a lot because you're nervous, if you are super jerky, it's a valid thing. My hands get super sweaty and gross when I'm nervous.
Yeah.
So I do think that that kind of thing plays a part into it for sure.
Underneath it all, like listening to you, it's amazing what you're doing. It just makes me think of like the nature versus nurture argument to giant degree, because like I have had, you know, a bunch of wild caught spiders who like I didn't know were wild caught or like, you know, etc. Mm-hmm. And they have like Phoenix is well cut and she's my little best friend, but like I have a spider named Toast and she molted and then took the longest time afterwards, and then after that she decided that I'm the scariest person in the world. Yeah, but before that I was like her best friend, so I don't know, I just, it's like nature versus nurture, but I don't know.
Has anyone else experienced like big personality changes in their food after a molt?
Oh, for sure.
Because I have definitely noticed that.
Oh, yeah. My Urbosa, every like molt, she's gotten like grumpier and grumpier.
Yes, that's what my girl Zell has been. And she used to be so friendly, so outgoing, and she matured and doesn't really want anything to do with anyone anymore.
No, that's so frustrating. I hate that.
Like, it is frustrating, but I'm also like, you know, you're getting up there in age. You're kind of an old girl. I'll let you be grumpy.
Aww, grumpy girls.
Mm-hmm. She just decided that she hates the paintbrush and will like not only threat pose it, but actually attack it. So if I can get her out of her enclosure, then she's fine. But she hates the paintbrush so much that I don't even bother with it all too often.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm like, man, me handling you is not worth all of the stress on you just to get you out. So
what do you do when you get like a foster baby that is like that and doesn't like want to be around people? Do you keep them or?
Yep, there have been a few that for various reasons have not been suitable to rehome. Either if they really don't have that outgoing personality, if it's someone who already has foods and is familiar with them, then I'm fine with it. I won't adopt out the ones who aren't super friendly. I won't adopt those out to anyone other than like experienced keepers, because I do have my reputation to also think about. So I would rather just keep those or send them off to people who are going to use them for like a breeding project instead of, you know, your first pet spider.
How long would you wait to determine, I suppose, like their temperament?
I usually wait until I like to rehome them when they're I-7s. They're just starting to get that really cute look. They're big enough that even newer keepers aren't super worried about losing them. As far as handling goes, they're out of that danger zone of like that I-5 molt is just the worst.
Yeah,
so it past really, that.
It totally is.
I don't even have another way to put it. It's just, it's the worst.
Treacherous. Yeah, when they make it through, it's like, dude, you made it, man.
Yes, it's a big sigh of relief every single time. But yeah, like miss molts are another thing that will keep me from rehoming a spood. In this current batch, I have one girl who has had two questionable mole. And one of them I was very, very, very worried about. Mm. So she is not, if one tricky molt with like a little bit of stuck molt or it took a little bit longer, I'll keep an eye on it and make sure that they have a healthy molt with me again before they leave.
Yeah.
But two iffy molts, you're not going anywhere. Like I would not feel responsible rehoming a spood like that. So Ruma's going to live with me instead.
For me, I don't know, like I7, they all seem to be like little bundles of curious joy. Like, I guess
I love that phase.
But when you mention like if they're not like excited or like handleable or, you know, personable, how do you know? Like, to me, it would just, you know, it would be like, are they a good eater? Are they, you know, is their abdomen a good size for the rest of them? Like, do I feel comfortable sending this to someone? I don't know. How do you determine whether, you know, one may cut or not?
Yeah. So all of the basic things that Lena just mentioned, they have to be overall healthy, first and foremost. They have to be good eaters. I don't send mine out until they are consistently eating micro mealworms just because flies are a pain.
Oh,
and if you are not prepared for flies, you're going to have a bad time. Even if you are prepared for flies, you're going to have a bad time. Until mine are eating something bigger than fruit flies, they don't go out. I haven't had an issue other than I capped two. One, because his personality, like he's just so shy. He doesn't like people. He really doesn't even like to come out of his enclosure.
Mm-hmm.
Would he have been suitable for like a breeder? Yes, absolutely. But that's not usually the people who I have coming to me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just usually they're pretty fine to send out. As I've kept back two, one because he's a runt. And all of his siblings are either mature or I-9s, and he is still an I-6. I should say they, because I'm still not even sure if this is a male or a female. They are still an I-6, an iffy I-6, but they're eating and fine.
Mm.
But I've obviously kept that one because it's not growing at a normal rate. The one male who is just not personable, not a fan of people, I have held back. But all of my other ones have honestly been really great personality-wise and wanting to be handled. Usually when I send them out and people get them, the first comment that I get is, oh my gosh, they're here. And then the next one is, oh, they came right out of their cup and they came right out to explore and say hi. I'm like, yes, that is why I do this. Yes.
Gah. Here's one thing, and it's just coming from my experience as someone who has bred a lot of spiders accidentally at this point, or someone who has raised a lot of spiders, but I don't even know if there's such a thing as a runt. I know there's, like, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just like,
no, I want other people's feedback on this and like the different growth rates of your spiders. I would love to know if you have those super like slow maturing ones, because then I also want to know, do those ones live longer?
Ooh.
So if they're super slow growing, that means that they have more molt to go and they can regenerate more, right? So do they live longer?
I don't know. I think for me, like after raising a ton of spiders, but also seeing like them die from like failure to thrive or like really sad missed molts, like you really can't tell like when they should all mature, you know? It's not like us. And I guess if you mature based on how quickly you eat stuff, right?
Yeah.
If you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Peach wasn't eating much when she was a baby. And then she didn't molt a lot. Like, it took her so long to molt. And then she finally, like, started eating and then shot off from there. So, do you want to give us a quick spider fact real quick?
Ooh, let's see. All spiders, regardless of whether they are web builders or not, all spiders create a minimum of 6 different types of silk. All the way up to, I think that we've identified 13 different kinds.
What?
Like, 13 unique. Yes, that the silk is different tinsel strengths. It is different different diameters. It is used for different, yeah, it's used for different things. And again, even spiders that don't make any sort of web, like jumping spiders who are actual hunters, still produce at least 6 different kinds.
That's so,
isn't that wild?
Dude, that's so cool. So Zoe, if people want to find you, where can they find you?
So I am most active on Instagram. I check my TikTok like for messages fairly frequently, but I don't post very much.
Okay.
So definitely easiest to get a hold of me on Insta.
Yeah. And again, that was at ZOVARIUMS, right?
And yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, babe. Well, thank you
for chatting with us, though. I learned.
Of course. It's always a good time.
I know. I need to Google what kind of silk our spoons have, because I'm freaking curious now. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Have a good weekend.